Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Revolutionists, The Story of the Extremists, Who Hijacked the 1970s by Jason Burke, examines how radical political movements and militant groups shaped a turbulent decade across multiple countries. Rather than treating the 1970s as a simple hangover from the optimism of the 1960s, the book frames the era as a turning point when fringe ideologies, underground networks, and spectacular acts of violence pushed themselves into public life. Burke, known for reporting on insurgency and political violence, places well-known incidents alongside the less visible infrastructure that made them possible, including recruitment pipelines, safe houses, propaganda, and international connections. The narrative highlights the blend of idealism, grievance, and strategic calculation that drew individuals toward extremism, while also tracing how governments and societies responded through policing, intelligence work, legislation, and public debate. The result is a broad, accessible account of how extremism can seize the spotlight, distort democratic politics, and leave long shadows that still influence contemporary security and culture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 1970s as a global turning point for political extremism. A central theme is the idea that the 1970s created conditions in which extremist organizations could punch far above their size. The decade brought economic shocks, social polarization, and geopolitical confrontation that eroded trust in institutions and intensified the appeal of radical alternatives. The book emphasizes that extremism did not appear in a vacuum. It fed on contested wars, post-colonial conflicts, ideological rivalries, and domestic unrest, turning political frustration into militant action. It also explores how the media environment of the time, with heightened attention to dramatic events and symbolic targets, amplified the reach of small groups. Through this lens, the term hijacked signals how extremists learned to dominate headlines and public imagination, even when most citizens rejected their goals and methods. The analysis underscores the interplay between local grievances and international narratives, showing how activists borrowed language, tactics, and myths from one another. By treating the decade as interconnected rather than isolated national case studies, the book invites readers to see patterns in radicalization, mobilization, and escalation that recur across contexts. The topic sets the foundation for understanding how an era of upheaval provided both motives and opportunities for militant politics. Secondly, from idealism to militancy pathways into radicalization, the book explores how individuals and small circles moved from protest politics into clandestine violence. It examines the psychology and sociology of commitment, where moral urgency and a belief in historical necessity can narrow the space for compromise. A key focus is how movements create in groups with shared language, rituals, and narratives of victimhood or revolutionary destiny, making disengagement feel like betrayal. The story also considers practical factors such as peer influence, charismatic leadership, and the pressures of underground life, which can push members toward increasingly extreme actions. Recruitment is portrayed as both opportunistic and systematic, shaped by universities, activist networks, prison contacts, and transnational meeting points. Another important element is how state responses, including surveillance and crackdowns, sometimes accelerated radicalization by confirming militants' expectations of repression. Yet the account also shows that many participants were not born violent. They were shaped by choices, circumstances, and the dynamics of small groups competing for credibility. By tracing these pathways, the book provides a framework for recognizing early warning signs in movements that begin with political aims but drift toward absolutism and coercion. This topic helps readers understand extremism as a process, not a sudden identity, and why preventing escalation is often easier than reversing it once underground structures solidify. Thirdly, networks, logistics, and the machinery behind spectacular acts. Beyond ideology and outrage, extremist campaigns depend on organization. The book highlights the less visible mechanics that allow violence to occur: financing, forged documents, weapons acquisition, training, transportation, communications, and safe locations. It explains that even groups presenting themselves as spontaneous vanguards require disciplined logistics and careful tradecraft, especially when operating across borders. International linkages are treated as a force multiplier, enabling militants to share expertise, move personnel, and coordinate messaging. This network dimension also complicated law enforcement, since jurisdictional boundaries and uneven intelligence capabilities created gaps that militants could exploit. The narrative pays attention to how the pursuit of publicity influenced operational choices, such as target selection and timing, but also how operational constraints shaped propaganda by dictating what was feasible. Importantly, the book shows that logistical competence could mask strategic weakness. Groups might execute attention-grabbing operations while failing to build mass support or durable political leverage. By focusing on infrastructure rather than only ideology, the book clarifies why counterterrorism is not purely a battle of ideas but also a contest over resources and capabilities. Readers come away with a grounded sense of how extremist violence is enabled, disrupted, and sometimes inadvertently facilitated by the environments in which militants operate. Fourthly, state responses, policing, intelligence, and the risks to democracy. Another major topic is how governments reacted when extremist violence challenged public order and political legitimacy. The book surveys the expansion of security services, the development of specialized police units, and the growth of intelligence coordination. It examines the practical dilemmas officials faced acting quickly enough to prevent attacks while preserving legal standards and public trust. Emergency laws, surveillance powers, detention practices, and courtroom strategies emerge as tools that could produce short-term gains yet carry long-term costs. The book also considers the political incentives created by fear, including the temptation to overreach, scapegoat communities, or treat dissent as subversion. Such responses could deepen polarization and provide extremists with narratives of oppression, even as they protected potential victims. By presenting state action as a complex balancing act, the book avoids portraying security measures as either purely heroic or purely oppressive. It asks readers to consider how democratic societies can defend themselves without becoming less democratic in the process. This topic is especially relevant today, as debates about civil liberties, online surveillance, and political violence echo earlier arguments. The decade becomes a case study in the consequences of choices made under pressure, illustrating both effective adaptation and harmful excess. Lastly, legacy and echoes. How the 1970s still shapes today. The book connects the extremist wave of the 1970s to later developments in political violence, security policy, and public culture. It argues that tactics refined in that era, such as coordinated attacks designed for maximum media impact, influenced subsequent militant movements even when ideologies differed. The period also helped normalize certain countermeasures, from airport and border security to intelligence sharing arrangements, creating institutional habits that persist. Another legacy is cultural. The decade cemented enduring images of the revolutionary, the guerrilla, and the terrorist, shaping how societies interpret radical politics and protest. The book suggests that understanding this history can prevent simplistic comparisons and instead encourage pattern recognition, including how economic stress, social fragmentation, and political mistrust can reopen space for extremism. Now, it also highlights how extremist groups often fail on their own terms, yet still succeed at contaminating politics by increasing fear, accelerating polarization, and provoking heavy-handed reactions. By tracing these echoes, the narrative positions the 1970s as a warning and a toolkit for interpretation. Readers are invited to see continuity in methods, narratives, and state responses, while also recognizing what has changed, such as technology and the speed of information. The topic leaves a clear takeaway: the past is not a blueprint, but it offers crucial lessons for resilience. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a clear, historically grounded understanding of political extremism beyond stereotypes. It will appeal to students of modern history, politics, and security studies, as well as general readers trying to make sense of why small militant groups sometimes dominate public attention. It can benefit a reader's life by strengthening their ability to analyze radicalization as a process with social, organizational, and political drivers, rather than viewing violence as inexplicable or inevitable. That perspective helps in evaluating news, recognizing manipulative propaganda, and thinking critically about policy choices made in the name of safety. The book is also useful for understanding trade-offs, how societies can protect citizens while avoiding actions that erode rights, inflame tensions, or validate extremist narratives. Compared to similar books that focus narrowly on a single country or one ideology, Burke's approach is valuable for its broader, connected view of the 1970s and the recurring patterns that link different movements. The emphasis on networks, logistics, and public impact adds practical clarity, making the book worth buying for readers who want more than a timeline of attacks, and instead seek a coherent explanation of how extremism captured a decade and left lasting consequences. If you would like to support Jason Burke, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.